This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to Running with Horses, a podcast devoted to inspire you concerning a relationship with Almighty God that empowers you to accomplish things you never thought possible. Shirley Weaver wants to take you there. And now, here's today's episode.
We are witnessing right now amazing displays of the power of God in the lives of His people, really on every side and in every way. And we love on this show to talk about that, the displays of God's power, because we've learned that His love is expressed many different ways, but one of those ways is with His power. I equate the two, His power and His love. They're not disassociated at all or foreign to each other, but rather the more you understand and realize the desire of His heart to powerfully intervene in your life, to make a difference, not only the way that you are praying, but in a magnified way to accomplish the plan that is in His heart, all that includes, even things you don't even know, you couldn't be aware of because they're very high. You know, the more we press for Him and the higher we go, the more clearly we see, and that is ongoing because you can never actually catch up. It's that big, that masterful, that supernatural, and we love to talk about that very thing, those possibilities in your life. You know, there is a sound that is heard in the heavenlies. The Bible has references that include the sound of the trumpet, the sound of the ram's horn, the sound of the cry or the plea, the sound of, I love this one, rejoicing, and the sound of salvation. That's Psalm 118. It goes like this. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. You might say right here, because the right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Popular verse, well known, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Did you know that the earlier part of that verse includes your voice? Your voice of rejoicing, your voice of salvation, as you exalt the Lord, magnify His right hand, the psalmist said. And twice inside of this one verse, the psalmist declares the right hand of the Lord valiant. He does valiantly. His hand is exalted. So when you and I exalt the power of God, His right hand is His power. The right hand of His power, it is His power. The right hand of the Lord is powerful. As you exalt His right hand and His power, then we say, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. It all goes together. It's one thought. It's that is a view of God's power that is consistent with His desire for you to understand what's possible. And not only for you, but for those God wants to reach through you. Very, very important. You know, we continue to hear rave reviews from the movie Sound of Freedom, speaking of sound. And you know that important line in the movie where the remark is made as the children are rescued and they begin to sing as they are playing. That is what freedom sounds like. The sound of rejoicing. The sound of having been saved. It is the right hand of the Lord. The strong right hand of the Lord. So think of all the Bible examples, like the one in Psalm 118. There would be, of course, most prominently, the sound of the trumpet, the sound of the ram's horn, the sound of prayer, or you might say the sound of the voice of the people appealing to Almighty God. There's the sound of the abundance of rain. That's the presence of God. The sound of instruments. That's the praise of Him. There's the sound of the harvest. Just to name a few. The sound referred to here makes a difference because it is a spiritual force, I believe. The more I know and experience the sound of the Lord, I know for a fact it is a spiritual influence. It carries weight. The sound that is made carries weight in the spirit realm. Not only in the courts of heaven before the throne of God, but the sound that God's people make from the tent or the dwelling of the righteous in your home, wherever you are, that would be your tent. From that place, the sound resonates throughout the atmosphere, making a difference. I believe one of those sounds that is critical, and it is our subject today, is the sound of passion. What does passion sound like? When we are faced, as the psalmist said, we shall live and not die. When faced with life or death, are faced with those voices in your head, threatening worst case scenarios, you know, everything negative, up to and including a complete wipeout of your life and everything precious to you, because let's face it, the enemy's task, determined purpose, John 10:10, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what I mean, faced with the voices in your head and the threats. As you're facing those threats, your passion is ignited to flow, not a quiet, reluctant, impoverished sound at all. Instead, I believe this. I believe passion sound is fiery and it's bold. And that sound, again, I believe, does something. It makes a difference. It's working an exceeding weight of glory, as it were. In the spirit realm, it makes a difference. And I think of Jesus' cry on the cross, "It is finished." Think of that sound as those words were sounded. They were demonstrative and very powerful for the authority that comes from submission. Your authority, as you are submitted to the Spirit of God, to the heart of God, all of that brings power. It brings His power, not your power. It is His power through you, through me, through God's people. But then it goes further, reverberating through the spirit world. A clear, emphatic command to the powers of darkness. I believe the command is stop. I believe the passion flowing out of you, facing the thing that the enemy is hurling at you, comes with a resounding answer as he perpetrates his march toward you to infiltrate your life, you say with your passion, stop. And that command to stop, spoken to the darkness, simultaneously commands the opposite, commands light, commanding life, come forth. Both are God's wisdom flowing from God through your passion. That means flowing from you. You know, that's why passion is not a whine. Passion is a command. And as I say right here in this example, the command is life. I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. So the command is life, life, life. And you know, as a result, the thief is caught. And the Bible is clear. When the thief is caught, he must repay. He must restore back to you everything that has been stolen, every bit of it. The father said to the son, sit down in the place of honor at my right hand, the right hand of his power. The father said to the son, sit down in the place of honor at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The father said to the son, I will make your enemies, the son's enemies, your footstool, the son's footstool. That means under his feet, literally crushed under his feet. This is progressively happening, you know, leading to a future time where it will be completely fulfilled, 100%. You know, that is what eternity looks like. A eternity where the enemies of God are absent because they've all been dealt with. We are in the process now of experiencing the forerunning of that ultimate fulfillment. And so again and again, God crushes the enemies that have perpetrated harm and evil against you, putting them under his feet, which, you know, that means under your feet. You serve him, you are submitted to him, and therefore authorized by him to command the crushing, to witness the crushing, and to see the placement of your enemies under the feet of Jesus. So passion is poured out as a sound. The sound, I'll say it again, it works something supernatural in the heavenly realms. It does. Another thing that is so creative this way, impartations. An impartation is something that we speak with faith and conviction. It's really Romans 10:18. A sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. That's the power of your words. They are a sound going out into all the earth. Your words unto the ends of the world. I mean, speaking of eternity here, that's why words are important. That is why we choose words carefully, craft them effectively, avoiding the temptation to say things that really align with the opposite of what we want. We frame our words so that they frame the mind and the will of God, and then we align with those words. So, to this impartation principle, when you say something with conviction, the faith that you release helps the hearer to be able to hear what you say. so that they can embrace what you are saying. And that's the way that an impartation takes place. Your faith conviction actually becomes a loan of your faith to the hearer, to the person you speak to, for whatever reason. Probably the impartation that Paul was describing. Romans 1 verse 11, Paul is speaking of a spiritual impartation here. I long to come to you to impart to you. I long to come to you to impart to you some spiritual gift. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:8, there was a word of encouragement, overall encouragement, as he longed to impart to the body there in the church in Thessalonica that there was encouragement from the Spirit of God. He had that impartation because he had that in his storehouse of confidence toward God. You know, with that kind of authority comes anointing. You often recognize the anointing because you bear witness to the authority on the one carrying that anointing. And after all, the church is the only voice authorized to confront the gates of hell. The only one. And see, we're called to that. We're called to be the voice of authority, anointed by God to confront the gates of hell. And part of the way that we do that is to release these sounds, the passionate sound of what God is flowing through you and the impartation coming up out of you, that faith conviction, which you can actually loan to the hearer until they are able to come up to it on their own. You see, that's what a teacher does. That's what a mentor does. That's what a parent does for their children, which I think is another benefit of time in the presence of the Lord. You know, as you talk, you pour out before the Lord your thoughts, and then he, so to speak, walks you through it. That's why, as that exchange takes place, your thoughts express to him, he responds, leads you through, working through those thoughts, getting rid of the part that's not good, laying hold to the part that is good. Then we say, we have the mind of Christ. That's how that happens. Literally, we let this mind that was in him be in our mind. We take on his mind. And when you do that, the number one result is peace, which includes the absence of fear. You know, God's plan for you has already factored into whatever the future holds. The plan that he has, don't worry, he's factored it in. Whether it looks bright right now or not so bright, whatever the future holds, what God's planned for you is already factored in. So he's got it. You know, the voice of freedom sounds like a voice of rejoicing. And as you resonate the sound of God's Spirit speaking to you and through you, the sound of passion as you fervently pray and fervently impart to others brings about a release of God's anointing with his authority that confronts the gates of hell, which we as the church are authorized to do. The world we live in right now is unfolding under our watch. We will be held accountable for that watch. We will be held accountable before the Lord for what we do at this time and how we do it. I bless you today. Listen, I just bless you with the power of the right hand of God, which is valiant. It brings forth life and defeats death, so that you can declare his works.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Don't forget to check out the show notes or visit aclearTrumpet.org, where you can subscribe to Shirley's email list, download the ministry app, and purchase your very own copy of Shirley's 365-day devotional, Running with Horses. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.